Okay, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Feliz Navidad.
Maligayang
Pasko. Okay. Christmas umedito. I see many members of the gospel choir here, but they will not sing today after Christmas. No? Okay. Yes. All right. Gospel choir. So 4:30. Please remember the time. Want to welcome one of my former students that I coached in basketball, and his mother is a member of our gospel choir. So Kurita-san, yoroshiku onegai shimasu. And oh yes, please. Yeah. So I yelled at her son many times. And now I get to preach to the mother, so praise the Lord. So our message today is from Luke chapter 2. If you could open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2. Also, we'll be going to Isaiah chapter 53. Would commend to you our bulletin as well. Our bulletin has the songs that we sang today, three of the new songs, Captured. I love that song. It's a great song. And I'm Free and then Wake Up World. But I was captured by that song. It's wonderful. So we'll read Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and then jump down to 34 and 35. And I would also like to read Isaiah 53. Actually, I'll read Luke. Are you in Luke now? You're in Luke? Okay, let's read Luke together, and then I'll read Isaiah out loud. So let's read. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Let me read Isaiah 53. "He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." These are the very words of God. Amen. So this is a very strange scripture to read, Isaiah 53, and then a scripture that is not often read on Christmas, Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. You're familiar with Luke chapter 2, verse 7, a very powerful verse, one that will be read on Christmas Eve. So If you look at this verse, you think, the picture that we're seeing is the picture of Jesus the baby. And he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God of Gods. And yet he was born and there was no room for him. No, there's no guest room, no beautiful baby bed. He was wrapped in clothes. And so when I was reading this a few weeks ago, I thought, well, that was what struck me, was amazing how Jesus allowed himself to be born in such a dark, dirty, smelly, cold place. He's the King. He's God, and yet he's in this manger. So that was a very powerful thing, and I wanted to study it. So I studied it. And if you read all of the chapter in Luke chapter 2, you're going to notice a pattern. And a picture begins to become clear. The author, Luke, who wrote this text, is showing us a picture, a foreshadowing. He's predicting, he's foreshadowing what will come at the end of Jesus' life. Here at the beginning, we see how Jesus will be at the end. And in the beginning, where he's born, we see that Jesus was rejected. You see that? There was no room for him. He was shut out. And he had to be rejected. And then later on, we see that a prophecy is given to him from an old man. And so, just today, I know it's a very heavy and kind of, Chris, it's Christmas. We should be happy and singing and bright and joyful. Yes. But I tell people, you will not find the light until you go through the darkness. There will be no new life until you go into the grave. Because new life comes out of the death. If any man would follow me, Jesus says, he must carry his own cross, deny himself daily, and follow me. So in death there is life. In darkness there is light. And so I want to get there today. I need your help. But if you don't understand that Christmas is about rejection, you will not understand Christmas. And so I want to just lay that before you. And I want to show you why Jesus was rejected. Why Luke is showing that. Because if you understand the reason, you'll understand the season of Christmas. So, three things I'll show you today, very briefly. One, why Jesus is rejected is because the world is superficial. Number two, why Jesus is rejected is because people suppress the truth. And therefore, Jesus has to be a substitute. So superficial world, suppressing the truth as people, and therefore we need a substitute. So we see here, why was Jesus rejected? The first one. Why Jesus was not accepted as the Messiah? The first one. The reason is, he did not look like a Messiah. He did not have the appearance of a Savior. If you read chapter 2 of Luke, you'll see, after he was born, Mary and Joseph, they take him to the temple to get circumcised. And it's a very religious and a special ritual for the Jewish people. And to do that, you had to pay money at the temple. And the Bible in the Old Testament says, you know, if you have money, you can give a goat, you can give an animal. But if you're poor, you don't have money, you can give just two birds. And it showed right there in Luke chapter 2, his parents, Mary, Joseph, they had no money. They gave what only the poor people could give. And it shows that Jesus' family was poor. His father, a carpenter. Even now, carpenters don't make very much money. And he was from the wrong side of town. And you know what? People look at that and say, that's not a savior. It's not a messiah. It's no money, no connections, no family, didn't go to the best school. And also, right now, I'm reading with my son, Kyohei. We started reading the Bible together. We're reading Mark, the gospel. And you see there in Mark chapter 6, people knew Joseph is not his father. When they were engaged, Mary was pregnant. What is that? Who's the real? And so they're pointing to Jesus, and they knew he was illegitimate. No father. And they, who's this Jesus? We know his mother, not his father, his mother. He's poor. No education. His father has a cheap job. Maybe illegitimate. That's not a savior. That's not a messiah. And so the world looks at that superficial level and they reject Jesus. We catching that? They said, that's not the king. The king, the savior, is born in a palace, in a castle with beautiful clothes. They don't put him in a manger where the people and the people feed their animals. They don't put them there. They put him in a beautiful room. But people don't realize. They think the greatest thing has a room and a castle. No, the greatest thing the world had ever seen was wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. That was the greatest, but they don't realize that. And we don't realize that because we're superficial. We want people who speak good, who look good, who smell nice. That's who we're going to watch. That's who we're going to see. Who are the famous people now? Who is a celebrity? It's always the same. It's the people on the outside who look good. But who cares how they are inside? They could be great outside, but their character, their lifestyle is a mess. But we'll look at them. We'll celebrate them. They'll be a celebrity. You look at anybody on the internet now who's famous. You know who I'm talking about. They're a mess, but at least they can dance and they can sing. Or they can't even do that and they're still famous. Right? And Jesus says, that's the reason why people reject me. It says, we read there in Isaiah chapter 53. He had no beauty or majesty. Nothing to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was unhandsome. That's how he was. And Jesus says, if that you're going to understand Christmas, you have to understand that I'm rejected. You know, Christmas in Japan, it's not really about celebrating lights and things. It's about couples. It's a romantic holiday in Japan. So let me give you a story with that. There was a man, he was in the Navy, he was a lieutenant, and his name was John Blanchard. He was in the American Navy. One day he went to the library on his holiday. He found a book at the library, and it was given to the library by someone who owned it. The library bought it. And he liked that book. He took the book, and inside, the book was nice, but inside the book, there were notes written by someone. So he looked at the notes on the outside of the page, and he, oh, these are interesting. Whoever wrote this was very smart and wise. I want to find. So he's a lieutenant in the Navy. He had some connections. He found out who wrote the notes in the book. It was a woman named Mavis Holland. Mavis Holland. And so he found out, and he wrote a letter to her. He said, I like the notes that you wrote. And she wrote back to him. And then he wrote back to her, and she wrote back to him. It's a correspondence. And he, in the war, he went to Europe, and he's, you know, in this war. It's crazy. But throughout the darkness of the war and the craziness, he would write this letter and get the letters back, and it was something that gave him hope, and it comforted him. And so when the war was over, he noticed the address. It was in New York. So he went to New York. And up until that time, he never saw a picture of her. He said, send me your picture. And she said, no, I'm not sending you a picture. Yeah. And so finally, he had a chance to meet her. And he went to New York. And she said, okay, I'll be at the Grand Central Station. I'm going to wear a dark dress. I'll wear a red rose on my lapel. So he went to Grand Central Station at the time. He looked around, and he finally saw two women with a dark dress and a red lapel red rose on their lapel. One was beautiful, and the other woman, a little bit older, a little bit bigger, not so attractive. And he said, oh, boy, what do I do now? And so he sees them, and suddenly the young woman leaves. And now he's just like, oh, boy. And he's thinking to himself, well, you know, I mean, I thought it would be romantic and very nice, but I really have a good relationship through these letters. And although it may not be romantic, I have something greater. I have a friendship. And at least I can be thankful for that. So he goes up to the older woman. He says, excuse me, you don't know me, but my name is John Blanchard, and I've come to meet you today. Would you like to go to dinner with me? And the woman looks at him. She says, young man, I don't know who you are. But there was a woman here who told me, if you would come up to me, she would be waiting for you at the restaurant across the street. True story. Yeah, romantic. Thank you. Because here's John Blanchard. He had to have something that Christians need to have. Christians need to have X-ray vision. Do you understand that? X-ray. We don't look at the surface, the outside. We have to see what God is looking at. The underneath, the substance. And so it's not, can you sing? Can you dance? Can you tell a good joke? It's not that. It's, do you have a heart? Do you have integrity? Do you have character? Do you have generosity? Are you loyal? And it's not just we look at that in ourselves, but we see that in other people. Because if the world is superficial, they'll reject Jesus. Because he doesn't have those things that they want. But God does not look at the outside. He looks at the heart. Amen. Jesus was rejected. Now, I need to go this a little bit further. Let's sit on this for just one more point. You see, you can come to Jesus. It could be, wow, exciting, a miracle, wonderful, peace, joy, grace everlasting. Yes, but it's also very ordinary. Very ordinary. And you can be discouraged because you can become a Christian, and then after 6 months, after 1 year, after 2 years, there's no miracles. There's no music, and there's some singing, but this person's off tune. The band is, you know, the rhythm is off. Something, and the people in the church are kind of, you know. And you think, it's so ordinary. But here's the thing. Jesus puts the miracle inside the ordinary. And he changes the ordinary with his miraculous in his way, not our way. And the Christian says, if you're a Christian, this is what you believe. You say, look, outside I could be a mess. The hair is off, the clothes are old. But I know inside Jesus is with me. And one day, the inside will match the outside. There's coming a day where I will look outside how beautiful I am inside because of Jesus Christ. That's what the Christian knows. But not only that, but for the other people who reject Jesus, their outside will also look like their inside someday. Those who are beautiful inside, someday they will be beautiful outside. But those who are ugly inside, a day is coming when they will be out ugly forever. Do not reject Jesus because he was ugly. Do not reject Jesus because he's unhandsome. If so, that's superficial. Superficial. We need X-ray vision. We need to look beneath it, find the heart, the gold, the character. Superficial, but also not only that, but because people suppress the truth. When Jesus came, he was threatening. He was threatening. What did this man say about him? If you could go back to Luke chapter 2, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be the sign that will be spoken against." Simeon was an old man, and he saw Jesus the baby. And God had told him, before you die, Simeon, you're going to see the Messiah. You're going to see the Savior. And so he looked at Jesus, and he picked him up, and he said, "Oh, beautiful baby. But they're going to reject you, and you're going to cause many to fall and many to rise." Why? Because you read in also Matthew, around the stories of Christmas, when Jesus was born, immediately someone wanted to kill him. Do you know this story? There was a king. His name was Herod. And so the wise men from another country came to King Herod. And they say, "Where is the new king? Where is the new king? We saw the star. It's the new king. Where is he?" And Herod, the king, he said, "What star? What king? I'm the king. I don't see no other king here. I didn't have a baby. What king?" And so he said, they said, well, they thought, you know, he was going to be born. And he looked at his records. He asked his people, "Where is he going to be born?" They said, "Bethlehem." So Herod said, "Let's kill all the babies 2 years and under in Bethlehem." That's called the slaughter of the innocents. Why? Because the arrival of Jesus showed Herod, "Herod, you're not the real king. You're not the real king. Someday, the real king is going to take your place." That's what Jesus came to do. You see, let me just break it down for you. In Romans chapter 1, the book of Romans, you don't have to turn there, but in Romans chapter 1, it says that everybody knows that there is a God. Everybody. And even though they know that there's a God, even though they know they need God, they know that they have to find God. They know it. But there is something inside all of us, some kind of strange engine that makes us want to say, "I don't really need God. I'm okay. I'm a good person. I'm fine." Something in all of us that says, "I don't need to find God. God doesn't need to find me. I'm just fine, just the way I am." And so what people do in Romans chapter 1, they say, we suppress the truth. If you tell me that I need God, I'm going to get angry. If you tell me that I'm not the real king of my life, I'm going to get angry and I'm going to start doing something. Just like they did to Jesus. Jesus came and he showed us we're not the king. We're not the boss. And that's a threat to us. And so we reject him. Just like Jesus was rejected. That's what happens to the Christian. The Christian that says, just lives life. It doesn't have to say anything. Just tries to lead the life of following Jesus. You're going to find, just like Jesus, there was no room for him, there's going to be no room for you either. If you follow Jesus. If you follow Jesus. Because he's a threat. Two examples. They say, you know, Japan, it's a Buddhist country, and it's difficult for Christianity. But in America, it's a quote-unquote Christian country, so it's easy to be a Christian. That's a lie. That's a lie. One example, there's in New York, a policeman. He became a Christian. And one day, the pimps came to his police station giving out the money. You know, just keep your mouth quiet. Don't come and bother us. And so he said, I can't take that money anymore. I'm a Christian now. So he wouldn't take the money that the criminals would give him. And so one day they said, look, all right, fine, don't take our money, but look, don't be surprised if you call for backup one day and they don't come because you don't take our money. Another example, Christian family. This is in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia, have you heard of that? Philadelphia, there's a Christian white family. And a new family comes into the neighborhood, a black family. And they welcome them. Oh, welcome, thanks, good neighbors. They help them to come to their house. They say, hi, welcome to our neighborhood. Glad you could come. Christian family. The next day, his neighbors, his white neighbors, come to him and say, what are you doing? Do you realize if we let black people move into our neighborhood, the value of our house, of our property, will drop? All of my money is in this property. All of my investment is in this land. We can't let black people. The Christian family just trying to follow Jesus. The Christian police officer just trying to follow Jesus. Not preaching anything. But that's what happens. If you follow Jesus, there was no room for him at the guest room, there's no room for you sometimes. That's the reality of it. Because Jesus shows us that the world is superficial, and Jesus shows us that the world wants to suppress the truth. If you try to live out your Christian life faithfully, if you try to take Jesus into your heart, I'm telling you, at the office, you're going to have a problem with gossip. Okay? As a gaijin, you're going to have a problem with racism, and not just, you know, regular racism, but just real, hardcore, in-your-face racism. You're going to have problems with those things because they rejected Jesus. If any man would come and follow me, he must carry his cross and deny himself daily and follow me. Finally, we reject him because we're superficial. We suppress the truth. Therefore, we need a substitute. We need a substitute. So, Jesus comes, and he says, the whole reason he came, the whole reason he was rejected, was so that we can be accepted. Can you see that? Jesus being rejected means we can be accepted. Because Jesus was pushed out, it means we could be in the house of God forever. Because he was not allowed in, we are allowed entrance into the presence of God. Where do I get that? Right there. Right there. Let's go to Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by mankind, verse 3, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, from whom people hide their faces, despised. Let's go to the next one. He took our pain and bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was rejected so we can be accepted. What did Simeon say in Luke chapter 32, 35? He is spoken against so that we can be spoken for. That's Christmas. Because Jesus came to be a substitute for us. We, by our sin, by our rejection of God, we rejected God. We disobeyed God. And because of that, Jesus goes to the cross and takes our rejection for us, so that we can be accepted by God himself. That's the meaning of the cross. That's the meaning of the baptism. That's the meaning of our communion today. So when we come and gather for communion, I want you to be reminded. Jesus was rejected. He was born in the darkness, in a stable to be laid in a manger, to be rejected by us so that we can be accepted by God. That's the whole reason. And so as you come to take the bread, you take the bread into yourself, saying, Jesus, I take you because you took me in, because you were rejected. And you take the blood that washes away and cleanses your soul, allowing you to be accepted into the house of God, into the family of Christ. That's our communion today. That's what we celebrate Christmas for. He was rejected so that we can be accepted. He was spoken against so that we could be spoken for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, somebody. Shall we pray? Would you allow your mind to be overtaken by Jesus right now? Let your mind's attention and your heart's affection be laid on Jesus. He was rejected for our sake. Lord, we want to know the meaning of this. Teach us your way. Show us your truth. For those here who are being rejected, who understand what it means to be on the outside, Lord, I ask that you show them that you know exactly how they feel. You were outcast. You were spoken against. You were disregarded. You were thrown away. You were prejudiced against. And yet, Lord, you offer us forgiveness. You offer us acceptance. You offer us cleansing. You offer us new life. Lord, teach us this. Help us to live it. And for this, we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.